amazing sight-restoring work. The operation he pioneered continues to free people from blindness today. You can imagine their joy when the bandages are removed and they can see. We call it the Fred Moment, and all it can take is a $25 donation to the Fred Hollows Foundation. If you'd like to make a Fred Moment happen, then please donate at hollows.org today.
Alive 90.5.
Today's bulletin brought to you by Your Sound, Your Community, Alive 90.5.
National Radio News.
Hello, I'm Brady Evans. Defence Minister Peter Dutton insists the quarantine system will be able to cope when a travel ban lifts and flights from India resume. The first plane load of Australians from India will land tomorrow morning after flights were suspended for several weeks to allow the Howard Springs quarantine facility to deal with positive COVID-19 cases before more potentially infectious people arrived. Mr Dutton told Channel 9 the Commonwealth had been working closely with the Northern Territory government since the India travel ban was imposed.
Yes, quarantine can work, and we've put in place other measures around pre-flight testing, for example, and making sure that if we're bringing people out of a zone like India at the moment, then we can do it safely so that we don't undo what's a pretty amazing story here in Australia.
Australia's Foreign Minister Maurice Payne is calling for peace and an end to violence in the worsening Israel-Palestine conflict.
We have unequivocally called on all leaders to take immediate steps to halt violence, to maintain restraint, and to restore calm. Our strong view is that violence is no solution.
Her comments come after tensions boiled over between Israel and Palestine in the last week, leading to the worst violence seen in the region in recent years. Militants in Gaza have fired more than 1,000 rockets into Israel since the latest flare-up began, and Israel has responded with devastating airstrikes in Gaza. Minister Payne is in the US and has met with top Biden administration officials for the first time in person. An Australian first study has overturned the widely held view that river systems will eventually recover from drought. The Monash University study looked at 161 water catchments and found that about one-third of them had not recovered in 8 years after the millennium drought. The drought was one of the worst in modern Australian history, placing extreme pressure on ecosystems, agriculture and city water supplies in the country's southeast. Overseas, US health officials have eased mask-wearing guidance for people who are fully vaccinated. This allows residents to stop using face coverings outdoors in crowds and in most indoor settings. President Joe Biden labelled it a great day for America.
It's been made possible by the extraordinary success we've had in vaccinating so many Americans so quickly. To date, we've given out 250 million shots in 114 days, and we're seeing the results.
A vibrant, large-scale portrait that Pablo Picasso painted of his muse and lover, Marie-Thérèse Walter, has fetched more than $133 million at auction. The astronomical price was reached after an almost 20-minute battle between two phone buyers. The piece is considered an exceptional work by Picasso, since the Spaniard usually painted Marie-Thérèse lying down, naked with her eyes closed and appearing lost in her own thoughts. In this work, she sits relaxed but commanding and stately, on a black chair near a window. And in sport, NRL referees have been told to crack down on high contact like punching and sin bin any player who makes direct contact with an opponent's head. Players will now spend time off the field for any forceful or direct contact with the head or neck. Send-offs have also been encouraged for particularly forceful contact, despite just 7 players being marched in the last 7.5 years.
National Radio News, produced by Charles Sturt University, the Community Radio Network, and supported by the Community Broadcasting Foundation.
Now for the latest weather on Alive 90.5.
It's 5 minutes past one here on Alive 90.5, Your Sound, Your Community. This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt. Currently we are sitting at 19.5 degrees, the tops of 19 today, quite a sunny day out there as well. Even if it's a little bit chilly, it's looking like it's going to be a sunny day, which it is. for the weekend, mostly sunny on Saturday, tops of 17, and tops of 17 on Sunday as well for a sunny day.
And now, on Alive 90.5, here's the latest traffic information.
Ingleburn, Hume Homeway, approaching Campbelltown Road, there's been a truck breakdown and spillage. Southbound traffic is affected. Exercise caution, reduce your speed. In Lane Cove, in the Lane Cove Tunnel, a truck has broken down. Moderate traffic conditions, one of three westbound lanes are closed. Reduce your speed, exercise caution there. In Woolloomooloo, Eastern Distributor at Cowper Wharf Road, it's been a truck breakdown. One of three southbound lanes are closed. Reduce your speed there as well. In Borkham Hills, Windsor Road at Miranda Road, has been a crash of a truck and a car. Two of four southbound lanes are closed. Exercise caution there and reduce your speed. Beverly Hills, King George's Road at Morgan Street, breakdown of a car. One northbound lane closed. Exercise caution there. And in Beacon Hill, Warringah Road, approaching Beacon Hill Road, there's been a truck breakdown there. One of three westbound lanes are closed.
Basically, today, just walk, you know, don't drive.
It's looking like that, right? This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt here on Alive 90.5, your sound, your community. It's a privilege, Mario, it's truly a privilege to be able to interview the lovely Azita. Azita, you have been on today's show already, and Mario, what a conversation it has been.
Well,
so far,
I'd like to say first thank you Tim Beeland for being our guest today, and I'd like to say thank you Matt Caruana for not you know, being shy and sharing his experience with our audience. But it's time to we move to the lovely lady Azita. I know Azita for some time now, and she's my boss in one organization called Shining Life Foundation. And Azita, it's interesting to all our listeners, I'd like to share this with all our listeners, that those people who experience the worst in life, they're actually those ones who help others, including Matt Caruana, Tim Millen, and now Azita. Azita strike me not as a person with the bling bling and the Hollywood smile and, you know, I'm the richest and famous, but somebody who's very humble and sharing her story with me in one event in the Parliament House, in Dalton House and the parliamentary functionary. And her story, it's a horror movie, but yet she rides as a phoenix. When I say as a phoenix, I like to Azita share this with us. So Matt, let's go hear the story of the Azita. Azita, welcome to the studio.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Mario, and great to be here, Matt. Thanks for having me.
So Azita, for all our listeners, you know, briefly, who is Azita
Abdullahian?
I know my English is not good, so Azita, for our listeners, would you mind to share with your story with all of us?
So would you like me to tell you who is Azita or who is absolutely Azita?
What do you think? What do you like to hear? The cosmetics or the true story? We want to hear the true story.
Okay, the absolutely Azita is who I am today. However, the Azita is a woman that was married at the age of 17 through an arranged marriage in Iran.
Yeah.
And came to Australia as a refugee and lived with abusing marriage for too long. We're talking about over 20 years, 22 years, being abused and violated in so many ways, and made Australia home. Mm-hmm. So when I came to Australia, I couldn't speak English at all. So my English, I'm still learning.
We're on the same boat. You know? I mean, we're like a Matt. You know? It's like that's just why he's here to correct us. So yes.
So, but I learned my English from watching programs like Bananas in Pyjamas and Wiggles. So
it's interesting.
Yes. Excuse me if my English is simple, but at least everyone can understand. The reason I learned my English from those program, you might ask, why, Matt, right?
Yeah, why? Yeah, yeah. How?
Because I wasn't allowed to go out of the house and improve myself and learn English. My previous husband was very controlling and didn't want me to even read a book, let alone learning the new language and become westernized or Australian, if you like. So I was absolutely controlled. So, but I managed to learn. So those programs for kids are perfect way of learning English, and here I am.
That's wow! Yeah, it's really confronting to hear, like from my perspective as well. You in a relationship that's, how I say it, very toxic
mm-hmm.
at the time.
Mm-hmm.
How did you manage? Did you think it was okay at the time? 'Cause you did that for 22 years.
22 years. As previously Mario mentioned, some of us learn how to mask our reality very well. So if you were looking at me about 10 years ago, you would see this sleek woman with always flower in my head and a smile on my face and try to pretend everything was okay. However, I look back on the photos and I see the saddest eye ever you can see in a human. So if you want to really know how someone feels, look into their eyes and you can see how they are. So I, unfortunately, I was living in a golden cage with a door open, which that is the reality of so many lives. People do live in golden cage with the door open and they think that's home. They call it home, but they are not really experiencing what life is about. And you learn hopelessness and you learn it's become part of the reality and become your life and become your identity. And you know how strong it is, how we actually latch into our identity. Doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, because it becomes our identity, we accept it. So this is very challenging to understand. The identity I'm currently holding is not serving a purpose for making me a better person, and yes, we can change. And I was fortunate enough to, so now is the time that I'm going to be talking about absolutely Azita. I become the Azita I am today because I was fortunate enough to experience an encounter with a police woman that came to a call of violence, the incident of violence. My ex-husband made a call and it was 1:30 in the morning, and I in fact caught him with another woman.
It's
horrible. Is, you can't even explain it with just the word horrible. It's, you know, 22 years of, from age of 17, so all my life, I was devoted to that marriage and to my ex-husband and the kids, and all of a sudden you see something like that. And I had an encounter with a police woman that she said few words that changed my life forever. And then I start taking steps. Step one, two, three, as hard as it was to be who I am today. I have now, I'm in a point that, you know, from someone that learned English from Bananas and Pyjamas and Viggles, I'm doing my master in social work, and actually I'm acing it because all my assignments are coming with HD in and distinction.
That's amazing. Good,
yeah.
That's amazing.
Very funny. Might get passed, but I'm happy with that one.
Just, if you don't mind, if we go back just like a little bit in that story. So you mentioned a policewoman came to the scene because your ex-husband had called. What did she say that actually got you to think differently? Because it must have been really profound words that really stuck with you, right?
She said a few words that, I was 38 back then. I'm still 38. I don't get old.
Time goes on.
Your time machine works very well, eh? Yeah.
And she said a few words that, unfortunately, up until that moment, I never heard those words. I will tell you, I will share those words with you and the listeners because they are profound. And she said a few words, and I didn't even take it serious. It was just amongst the other conversation. And I left her, and about 5 years later, when people were asking me what happened that you finally, after 22 years, which is a long time, you decided to come out of that abusive marriage. And I didn't know why, because none of the thing that has happened that night wasn't the first time. I knew he's seeing other women, but I never saw it with my eyes. That was the first time, at least. But he has hit me before. He swore at me. He put me down in front of other people. So we had, you know, screaming, kicking before. But what happened that night, and I still didn't know when people were asking me the question, so it was driving me crazy because I wanted to find the answer. Now, I was an awakened woman that was searching for answers. And I had to literally take a hike. I put a backpack on and I start hiking. I did 900 kilometers in Europe. I walked the Camino, and until I found the answer why that night changed my life. And when I degagitate everything, every second of that night, I got to the point that I had the conversation with this policewoman, and she said a few words. And today, that few words, I speak around the world, and I share that with people because I know there are women out there that they perhaps haven't heard it, or if they heard it, it came from one ear and get out of the other ear. So she said, Azita, and now this is the listeners have to just, whatever you're doing, put down and listen to what I have to say. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be loved. And you deserve to be respected.
You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be loved. You deserve to be respected. They're words that I think we all can sit with. And ladies and gentlemen listening right now, I think let's take a moment to just sit with that. You're listening to a live 90.5. This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt. Let's take these few minutes to really reflect on those words. You deserve to be happy. You deserve to be loved. You deserve to be respected. What beautiful words.
Thank you.
Live 90.5.
Pick up the phone, but she made the decision that she wanted to move on, cause I was wrong, and www.alive905.com.au.
Are you an experienced disability care worker? Then why not consider the benefits of working for Global, the leading disability care agency in Sydney? Agency Work offers variety to work where and when you want. If you have previous disability care work experience, a first aid certificate and driver's license, then Global is the agency for you. Global offers great rates of pay and free training courses to its own disability care staff. Check out positions vacant on the website at globalcarestaff.com or call today on 1-800-009-292. That's globalcarestaff.com or call 1-800-009-292.
Station sponsor.
We are the Insight Intelligence Group, specialising in Australian corporate investigations and information risk management, workplace investigations, competitor analysis, social media intelligence, reputational risk management, internal or external investigations. Professional and proactive, Insight Intelligence Group works with you to ensure the success of the investigation. Australia-wide or global, facts, not opinion. 02-882-9837. Insightintelligence.com.au.
Station sponsor.
Could you recognise if one of your friends or family was having a stroke? Think fast.
F. Face.
Check their face. Has their mouth drooped?
A. Arms.
Can they lift both arms?
S. Speech.
Is their speech slurred or confused?
T. Time.
Don't wait. Call 000 now. Think fast. Act fast.
A message from the National Stroke Foundation.
This is Business Insights with Mario and Matt here on Alive 90.5, your sound, your community. And we are in studio with Azita. Azita, one more time, how do I pronounce your last name?
Abdullahian.
Abdullahian. Even I know this. Shame on you. Abdullahian. I'll just pronounce like. So Azita, before I give the word to Matt, you know, we have so many questions. So we need to have you certainly back in the studio a few more times because we can't.
This is unfinished.
There's not enough time, you know, for any show to talk about your story and how inspirational woman you are. After living in Golden Cage, not knowing language, and again, geez, you know, like this is the bravery and courage you say, you know, when you say that you learn English through the bananas in pyjamas and what's it called?
Beagles.
I learned language as well, but to the movies, because more acceptable. And I remember I was repeating the words hearing on the street as well. Now, I know if somebody goes in Croatia, Australian to learn Croatian, it's going to be hammered because it's a different language like Iranian, right? And that's the courage I respect in people like yourself, you know what I mean? to publicly say, this is how I was learning the language. But moving forward, Golden Cage, you're going to walk, hike for 9,000 kilometers, 9,000?
900.
Okay, 900. So, what
do I mean? But 9,000
sounds good. 900 kilometers, like a Forrest Gump, you know, like, and then how did you come with the grasp in reality, okay, I don't live with this man anymore, I'm going to obviously divorce and you have children. How did you move forward with your life? What was your biggest fear or maybe your biggest obstacle?
When I told my mum I'm separated.
Yeah, she was angry.
She said, oh my God, now you're going to be homeless.
Oh my
God. Oh.
You and your children, because I have two beautiful girls.
Yeah.
She said, what have you done, Azita? You are going to be homeless. People's going to be passing by and giving you and the kids food and what I'm going to do. So that was so scary. It hit me hard.
Mm.
And I thought, asked the same question. I said, whoa, what have you done, Azita? I remember the next day after I sent my ex-husband a formal letter that it's, you know, separation is official. The next day I wake up, I was in bed, and all of a sudden these tons of thoughts just fall on me that I felt like I'm paralyzed. And what have you done? You are stupid. You are selfish. You didn't deserve this life. Because if you read the book I wrote, Breaking Free, I explain everything. My ex-husband was a medical doctor.
Mm.
So you can imagine, my golden cage was a pretty, pretty cage. And all of a sudden, I had to accept that everything is going to be removed from, you know, from my
life.
From
your life, yes.
And I felt the decision was a dumb decision, because at the age of 38, I have no education. I finished high school back in Iran, well, long time ago. I had no education. I had no financial support, because all my life, the finance was controlled by my ex-husband.
Yeah.
So I remember I felt like I'm alone in a strange land in Australia, not having the support of
family. No, yes, yeah.
All the friends were just
useless.
Useless. Thank God for giving me the word. Otherwise, I was going to use a worse word to express
because everything's
my
beautiful,
feeling.
Everything's beautiful and everything's like, you know, the couples, the marriage and everything else. They suddenly, things will change.
That's it. You're a separated woman. Scary.
Yeah.
And so I felt like maybe my mom is right. So many times she was right and so many times she was wrong, but I was so confused. I was in the state of mind that I didn't know, is she going to be right or she's going to be wrong. So it was very, very scary, to the point that I forgot I actually have some skills. I was a hairdresser. So I didn't even cross my mind that, silly girl, you are a hairdresser, you can work and
yes,
you can you know, be able to help yourself. I had no idea that I actually could. This is the honest, this is the truth. I thought I'm not good enough. The next day in bed, when I look at myself, I was shattered to the pieces. There was nothing was left from me. Who am I? I had no identity as an individual. I was always attached to being, you know, my identity was a married woman, to a doctor. I was living in a great house. I was driving an amazing car. I was wearing the best brand clothes and jewelries and all of that. But imagine you removed everything from a person.
Yes.
And whatever is left there is a real person. And back in that time, I felt like I am nothing, I am nobody. I was shattered to pieces. So I'm sure you heard about the expression hit the rock bottom. So it was there. I was right in the bottom and I could feel the rocks on my back because it was cold, it was dark, it was scary, and I didn't know what to do.
So you've hit rock bottom. How did you start to take those rocks off your back that were there weighing you down and keeping you in that dark place? How did you start to release it from yourself?
So remember those words that policewoman said?
Yeah.
I believe words are very, very powerful. That's why we have to be absolutely impeccable with the words we're using, because they have the power of lifting someone from the rock bottom or putting them down in the rock bottom. And those words, they start a little, they ignite a fire in me, which it kept me going. And I have two beautiful girls. So they were there looking me, you know, crawl down, and I'm sure it would have been a very, very scary sight for the kids to see. The parents are separated. The dad is, you know, drinking alcohol, bringing women home. The mother is depressed. Angry. I was angry. I was so angry with life, with me, with kids. It was everyone's fault that I was where I was. And those words, I would keep repeating them in my head. You deserve better. So it must be more into life. That can't be it. And the power of my kids, we're quiet. Like they lift me every time. I was like, "That's it. I'm done." I've got amazing, smart, beautiful girls, and they would identify it. And even time was like, "I'm gonna go back to my previous marriage because I couldn't handle it myself." And I remember my elder daughter. She said, "Mom, over my dead body, you will go back to dad." And when she said that, I realized, whoa, it must have been really, really bad. And because I was living in it, I couldn't see it. It was my life. And so then she introduced me to, "Mom, I think you should be listening to some motivational speakings, like on YouTube. Listen to other women that went through the same problem with you." And so everything was new to me, but I was open to change, and I was open to challenge and to learn more, and I did. So every day was a new day, and every day I could see an improvement, even if it was tiny bit of improvement, I could see it. And Mario, to get back to the question you ask, so this is the first time I'm going to actually to say this in, you know, in radio, in broadcast, in public like this. I experienced homelessness. So when I came back from my walking, hiking trip, being away from the business for 6 weeks, I came back, it's nothing was left from the business. You know, the people would...
Trying to
run the business. They didn't know what they had to do. They were just so quick to get their money and off they go. But when I came back, I had to work hard again to build the business up. And for me, whatever I was doing, it was just enough to pay the rent for the shop and pay the workers and petrol in my car. And I put everything in the back of my car and I was homeless.
With your girls?
The girls at that time have moved out. Nisha moved out when she was 19 and I was in tears. But then later I realized
maybe... So what's the feeling being in a car? Living in a car?
Mm.
from Golden Cage to homeless being a car?
It was nice. From the Golden Cage to be in the car, it was... I still felt more freer in the car than in the Golden Cage.
Wow, that struck me.
Would you feel like a failure, Matt, if it happened something like this to you? I would, you know, I mean, like, you know, you suddenly, you know, have nothing and, you know, living in a car.
Well, the thing is, like, you went from such a, I suppose, a glamorous life. Call it glamorous. That's a
It was glamorous, yes.
Oh, from the from the outside.
From outside.
From outside, it was such a glamorous, luxurious lifestyle, going to nothing. And you're saying it was comfortable. It was a great thing. That something that really struck me hearing that, because it's, most people wouldn't say that.
People not dare to live like this. People don't want to live on. Well, my understanding of life it is that people don't want. Risk things in life, you know. That's my understanding.
But
why would you risk? You know, I would rather suffer in a silence, you know, and live in a comfy life. And I don't say that many women only, the men as well, doing the same thing, and they'd rather be in a submissive relationship or toxic relationship, whatever you want to call, not to lose that, because people fall in love with the idea, not with the reality. But we continue with homeless. Azita in a car. After a short break, you're listening to Live 90.5 Business Insights with Matt and Mario, and our guest in studio, Azita, sharing her lovely, powerful story. And I mean, I think everybody come on our website, live905.com.au today after 6:30 p.m. and then you're going to hear this interview and you're going to be inspired. Live 90.5.com.au.
Live 90.5.
Cause I want you bad. Yeah, I want you, baby. I've been thinking about it all day, and I hope you feel the same way. Yeah. Cause I want you bad. Yeah, I want you, baby. Slow, slow hands, like sweat dripping down my dead laundry. No, no chance that I'm leaving here without you on me. I know, yeah, I already know that there ain't no stopping your plans in those slow hands. Slow hands. I just wanna take my yeah, I want you, baby. Slow, slow hands, like sweat dripping down my dirty laundry. No, no chance that I'm leaving you without you on me. I know, yeah, I already know that there ain't no stopping your plans in those slow hands. Fingertips putting on a show, got me now and I can't say no. Wanna be with you all alone.
The director of Cherry Brook Real Estate, Sam Ramon, is a specialist in property management in residential in the Hills District. He prides himself on taking the stress out of property management and looking after your investment at a competitive rate. If you need property management, please call Sam Ramon from Cherry Brook Real Estate on 9980 9860. Station sponsor.
Ever have that sinking feeling that you forgot to get the gas bottle filled for the barbecue or outdoor heater? Do you worry about transporting a gas bottle in the boot of your car? Kangaroo Gas has got you covered. Kangaroo Gas will deliver 8.5 kilogram gas bottles to your home or business. Call 0405 LPG LPG or go to kangaroogas.com.au. That's 0405 LPG LPG online at kangaroogas.com.au or find them on Facebook. Station sponsor.
This is a live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Matt. We're currently at 19 minutes to two. He's sitting at 19 degrees. Mario, I can't honestly get enough of this conversation. This is,
yeah, it is.
It's really deep. It's really inspiring for me as well. And I don't want to stop. But honestly, where we left off was such, and I mentioned earlier, it really struck me. What you said. You said going from a Golden Gate, a pristine, luxurious lifestyle, then going to living in your car was it was a step that was something you were happy about. And it was comfortable. Living in your car was comfortable. Do you mind explaining that?
I can live it comfortable in a car. I don't understand, but please.
Okay. So may I ask a question, Matt?
Please, yeah.
Would you like to be living in a golden cage and someone few times a day call you are dumb, you're ugly, you're useless, you're nobody, you have no education, your nose is big, your smile is too big, close your mouth, don't laugh like this, or be in your car. Oh, as well as punch you often. Or being living in the car, which nobody's calling your name. Okay, it could get cold at night, but and you can have all your clothes and jewelries and the flowers to put in your hair when you're going to work. But no one's going to punch you. No one's going to call you those names. And you feel free. Which one would you choose?
The second option, I live in my car. The way you described it just then gave me a picture in my mind. It's almost like someone would be choking me with diamonds around their hands versus nothing, just freedom at that point.
So remember, I'm a refugee. I came to Australia 20 years ago as a refugee. So that wasn't the first time I was going to start from zero. So what I knew about myself that I've done it before.
You can do it again.
I can do it again.
So despite Matt, he reflected this earlier in your story you shared with us, you felt the rocks and the rock bottom description. You were afraid and of course you're petrified and everything else. However, you go day by day and then you build your life again. Now, being homeless, a reason today I have you today in studio, it's very simple. You help homeless people. But before that, you say something interesting. You're doing the master's today on an English language, which is not yours. So bananas in pyjamas and the wiggles should give you some type of reward. So you're doing the master's in psychology, but you never forgot your roots, who you are, where you come from, because you're helping those less fortunate. However, before that, you publish a book. Why did you publish a book? Why and how does book help people?
Mario, I believe that I am who I am today because of so many people along the way that helped my hands and, you know, my kids, my sister, my brother and my family and friends and community. And I feel like I've got obligation and I've got responsibility towards other women that are experiencing the same thing. And it's my responsibility to share my story because I know I have been there And I not only survive, I can say with confidence that I thrive. So I have been awarded a few times. I have been interviewed in radio, television, and I've been speaking on the biggest stage. And I don't want to forget where I came from. So the book is to leave a legacy, as well as, because book is powerful. People read it and it goes into your head. It goes to their head, and then they will act. Whatever we know today as a person, it's we either read it somewhere or heard it somewhere, and it make us who we are. So I wrote this book because I want other women to see the light in the tunnel is not a train. It's real.
Okay. That's interesting.
And there is hope, you know, if you trust yourself, if you accept the change and challenge. It's a scary. I never claim that everyone can do it and it's easy. No, it's a great challenge. It's a scary place. But there is hope. Look at me. If I did it with, you know, being shattered, having no friends and family here to support me in Australia, in a strange land, no English, no education. If I did it, you can do it too. But however, part of my job is now I train women around the world. I mentor women around the world to teach them success plus emotional well-being. It will make the difference, because we have so many successful people that do live a luxury life. Everything from outside, it's amazing.
Yes.
But inside the head, things are not working.
You truly are an example of hope, of that change is possible, and that if women can empower themselves. What would be some advice to a woman who is experiencing violence in their relationship, whether it be emotionally, physically, sexually, well, spiritually, however? What would be one bit of advice you would give to them?
Preparation.
How would they prepare?
So when things are wrong, we know they are wrong. We just trick ourselves to believe.
Did you know it was wrong at the time when you were experiencing it?
Well, I wasn't happy. So I wasn't enjoying life. I knew something is not right, but I just didn't know how to deal with it. I accepted as being normal because my mom lived like that. Her mom lived like that. My aunties lived like that. I grown up with that mentality that you are a woman, you sacrifice your life. You're a woman, there's no love for you. You have to devote yourself to your husband and kids. If it's love, it's selfish. You're a woman, what the hell are you talking about?
So may I ask you that note? It's interesting, and I remember my parents, I was last century. I do remember when I was leaving the military after 15 years and going diplomacy, my mom, she told me, why would you change a job? What are people going to think about you? Is this what you want? I'm like, well, I think I come to the end of the, of career. I wanted something more and, want to build something. But there's always that that feeling of being educated by the parents, who's been educated by their parents, and that you need to endure, suffer like everybody else. Because if you lift your head above the water and try to be something else, society's going to crush you. But you had this courage, and you wrote a book. What's the book called, Matt? I Wanna Break Free. what's the book called?
Breaking Free.
Breaking Free, yeah. So that book, it's very helpful, but we're running out of time. We have a few more minutes before we finish the show. Now, the question I do have for you, it's very simple. You're helping homeless people. To your foundation called Shining Light Foundation.
Correct.
Okay. Can you just explain to us, how did you start with this one? So let's rehash this. A woman married in Iran, coming to Australia as a refugee, living in Golden Cage because her husband was a, highly respectable, whatever, doctor. then you decide one day after, you know, encountering these issues in a marriage and abuse and domestic violence and everything else, you become homeless. So, you know, and then you write a book, you know, ending the master's in psychology. But yet you step out, and I witnessed this because I was privileged enough to be the part of your charity. You step out in a marketplace in cold night to help the homeless people. So tell us more about Sheldon Life Foundation and what you're doing and how you're doing.
When I start working with homeless people, that goes about 5 years ago, I was living in my apartment in Lane Cove, feeling absolutely miserable, and life wasn't good in any way, which I'm shameful to say it now, but that's how I felt. I saw a video which a man in uniform was harassing a homeless man on the street on Facebook. Any sight of violence, it triggers a power inside me that I have to stand up. And that's another thing I'm going to ask you and the listeners to. If you see a sight of violence against women, violence against men, we have to stand up and we have to say something. So I decided to stand up for that homeless man. I went and found him. And I said, how can I help you? I saw a video and I can help you. And, you know, I'm this, I'm that. And he said, oh, I don't want any help. Can you just give me a couple of socks? And it was
socks.
Socks. And it was winter. I looked at myself with boots, gloves, hats, shawl around my neck, big jacket, and I looked at him with no socks and no shoes and ripped pants. Mm. And I came home, I just couldn't rest anymore. I was ashamed of the person I am. Being so
why ashamed, you know, but that homeless people, that homeless person encountering thousands of people, you know, in the same spot there. So why would you be ashamed? Why other was not ashamed?
I think you have to reach to a kind of emotional and conscious growth,
yeah,
to see that sort of things. I came home and I saw how ungrateful I was with the life I had, and how I was angry with everything that was actually working for me. I was separated from that horrible marriage. I was studying. I was running a business.
Yeah.
But how dare I was to be ungrateful for? I was building up, but I couldn't see it up until that moment. I thought I'm a failure. My encounter with the homeless person, it's allowed me to realize I'm actually building up. It was difficult, but anything startup, it's a challenge. Yeah. It's hard. So from there, I collected socks and I took it to the homeless person, to the homeless people, 5 of them, 10 of them, 20 of them, 40 of them. And I said, oh my God, there's too many of them. And that was the rise of Shining Light Foundation, because I could relate to homelessness, because I know those people are homeless. They didn't choose to be homeless. I didn't choose to be homeless. I just choose to come out of a horrible marriage. I just choose to end a relationship that it was abusive. I didn't choose to be homeless. So those people are the same. And Shining Light Foundation now has the pleasure of having you, Mario, as our ambassador and the community and committee member. And we are shining lights on some dark side of the society.
Makes me very happy to see you alongside Azita, Mario. Yeah. I actually wanted to ask as well, because I see this bit of paper with Shining Light at the top of it, and looks like a calendar, in almost like a calendar with, yeah, boxes.
1 to 100, and we have the cross at 26.
Red crosses. This is the only time people can be happy if they receive a red cross from
why?
me.
Why is that?
Reminds you of the school, eh? But look, I like to invite everybody, you know, to listen this radio show today. So, Matt, what do you think? Or should we wind up? It's a time to wind up, or?
It's looking like that.
Yeah, so it's time to wind up today's show with our listeners. I just want to say thank you, everybody, who tuning in live 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Matt. It was a true privilege today to interview Tim Binland from the Binland Talking podcast, who will share with us today mental health issues and how to deal with them. I'd like to say thank you to Azita from Shine Life Foundation, the world-known bestseller, and her book Breaking Free from the Toxic, Abusive, Domestic Violence, Marriage, Being Homeless, Creating her Little Empire, and now continuously assisting to everybody in Sydney and across Australia and further. So thank you, everybody, for listening to us today. Matt, time to wind up with.
Yeah, Azita, I got to say, I'm very much looking forward to talking to you again. It's been an absolute privilege to meet you today, and
thank you for having me. And if anybody wants to know how they can get a Red Cross from me, just find me on Facebook, social media, LinkedIn. I will be more than happy to let you know.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
Have a great afternoon, guys. Alive 90.5 Business Insights with Mario and Matt.
Alive 90.5.
Ready? today's bulletin, brought to you by Your Sound, Your Community.